special edition of Chiefs Live this week as we've got the head coach himself, Andy Reid, with us. And thanks for being with us, Coach. You and I have talked several times how this has been a sequential offseason, starting with your hiring, then getting the staff, draft, combine, all the way down the line. But this last sequence has been the OTA minicamp sequence. What was your reaction to that and how you feel about this team after this last time?
I'll tell you what, Mitch. First of all, it's good to be on the show here. The players, I appreciated the attitude that they took all the way through the offseason, through phase one, phase two, through the two mini camps, the rookies through their mini camp, and then obviously this last 3 days, which was the second mini camp that we had with the veterans and the mandatory one. They pushed through it. They came both mentally and physically to work, wanting to get something accomplished every day that they had with us, and it showed on the field. We were able to get a lot done. Are we where we need to be? No, but we're headed in the right direction. We've got a pretty good foundation set up to where we can hit St. Joe flying, and so that's positive. That's a good thing. We got to get a lot done up there, though. That's real football, when you can put the pads on and actually do what you do as a football player. And so there'll be some fundamental things there that we take care of. Schematically, I think, though, we're pretty good shape right there.
By your own admission, you've thrown a lot at these guys. And I want to ask you to just go in different phases. The offense. I mean, you've piled on these guys. Reaction to that, and these guys kind of going through the information overload, how'd they handle it?
Well, they handled it well. You can't do it unless the quarterbacks are sharp. It starts with them. Rodney was able to pick a lot of things up too at the center position, which is very important. Then you can transmit from there. That's the middle of your offense, kind of the brain trust of your offense, and then they can kind of get everybody else going where they need to get them going. But it starts with the quarterbacks. They all four of them, I thought, did a good job with that. Obviously, Tyler's playing that catch-up game because he's young, and this is all new to him. And the other, in particular, I'm saying the National Football League's new to him. This offense is new to all of them. So, but they wanted more, and they wanted you to challenge them every day. Take me to another level every day attitude. I thought they did well with that.
And how much of that is Alex Smith? Not only his intelligence, but his athletic ability. And you know, watching him over the last several months, it's been intriguing to follow him. How much of those other three guys is Alex?
Well, it starts with Alex. And he's the one that's played in the National Football League and been under that big eye that's stuck on the quarterbacks in this league. There are only 32 of them in the whole world, and he's been one of them. That's been in the spotlight. You're not going to take anything away from Chase and his competitiveness. I mean, Stanzi, he's a brilliant kid, and then Tyler's in a good room. But it starts with Alex and his approach to the game. You've got to kick Alex out of the building. There's a certain amount of hours that the NFL allows you to be here, and he wants more. And he can't have more. So it's just not allowed. But you've got to tell him, okay, listen, my man, it's time to go. You have to go. I appreciate that, though.
How about the information with the defense and what they've been handed by Bob Sutton and trying to digest all that and process it?
Yeah, well, as complicated as the offense is, it's the same way on defense. We're not just going to line up and play. We're going to line up and play. But we're going to give you a whole lot of different looks. And Bob's a master at that. He's been doing it a long time. He's a student of the game. Nobody's going to outwork Bob Sutton. It's just not how it's going to go. He's going to be demanding in his own way, most of all by example. And it's complex, but the great teachers, and I've been around him long enough to know he's a great teacher. The great teachers take the complex and they make it simple so that the player can understand it and pick it up. And whether it's compartmentalized, however they go about it, the great ones can do that. They can teach and take that stuff that's tough. And these guys, knowing that these guys have to spit it all out and get it done in a very short period of time and make a whole lot of adjustments as they're doing it. And I think when you talk to the player, players speak, I can sit here and tell you all these wonderful things about coaches and players, they're going to let you know. So when you hear the players coming back going, hey, we love this guy's system, that's a positive. They're going to call it like they see it. Or they just won't answer it, right? but that's how they feel because he gives everybody an opportunity. It's an aggressive scheme where guys are going to blitz. Well, everybody's going to blitz. It's not just the linebackers, but the safeties are going to have a piece of that pie. The corners are going to have a piece of pie. If you're playing nickel, you're going to have a piece of that pie. Outside linebackers, they're all over the place. I mean, it's a fun scheme to play in.
I've kind of noticed it reminds me a little bit what Coach Johnson did with you in Philadelphia. Am I far off there? Because I'm watching this, kind of the pieces come together.
Right.
Seems there's some similarities.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It's an aggressive scheme.
Yeah.
The thing that you see with and you saw this in Coach Johnson, Jim Johnson, and you see this in Bob, is that you're giving the offense the impression that you're blitzing every down. The fans are going to look at it and go, oh, my gosh, these guys are blitzing every day. Where in reality, you're not. You're coming in certain situations against that team. And most of all, you're designing the blitzes where you can get home. So what does that mean? That means that the offense can't pick. There's one guy coming free. They might pick up two of them. That third guy, he's getting to the quarterback.
It's exciting to see it. And I got to ask you about special teams and Dave Tobe and Kevin over there. Same thing? I mean, processing.
Yeah, Dave's always been aggressive. It takes you about 5 minutes talking to him to know that this is an aggressive guy. He's no nonsense. He gets it. He understands special teams. Special teams is a lot like being a head coach, that every game you come out of, even though you win, there's something that didn't go quite the way you wanted it. You can be a tight end coach and you can have a great day or a bad day, right? As a special teams coach or defense could have a great day and you feel pretty good about it. Offense has a great day, you feel pretty good about it. Special teams coach, you've got so much on your plate. There's always going to be one phase that's, didn't do quite as well as the other phase. And he handles all that well. He understands it. He's very aggressive in his approach, not only to the players, which they love, and then the scheme is likewise aggressive.
It's exciting, again, to see all this come together. Now, I said this is a league that never sleeps. It's like three shifts work all at the same time. However, the closest thing to a plant shutdown is over the next 6.5 weeks. You had the end of mandatory minicamp today. What was your message to this team as they disperse? Where do you want them to be when they roll back in and go to St. Joe?
I want them to be ready to go. I've laid out the expectations for them. They've had a taste of that farmland fury thing where it's fast and furious on both sides of the ball and special teams. There's not a lot of dead time out at practice. You're going to be moving, and you better be in good shape to do that. You're going to up the degrees. It's going to be warm. You're going to up the humidity. You're going to put on the pads. Practices are going to be a little bit longer than what they are now. And meetings are going to be longer. You're going to have a walkthrough involved with it. So the days are longer. Physically and mentally, you better come back ready to go. I have a feeling this crew will do that. Just from being around them, there's a certain sense of urgency that they have that, from a coaching standpoint, you love. But like I said, are we there yet? No. I think they understand that too. They know they've got a lot of work ahead of them. Sure looks like they're willing to work, though, and it's I can't ask for more than that.
You've been in this league a long, long time. But with these new rules, it's interesting. And without naming names, how have you seen players kind of goof this up, or players that it's almost like sending your children to college? I mean, you're sending them, you've had them, you've put all this on them, now you got to let them go. How have you seen players expand and utilize it, or others that do go the other way?
Yeah, well, usually the players know this. They know that once a season's over, that's kind of their period to get whatever they need done. And then they come into the phase one and phase two, phase three. They go through that. After phase three in the last OTA, the mini camp, normally what they do is that's their ramp-up time. It's time for the coaches to calm down and get their battery recharged. But from a player standpoint, it's time to ramp up and go. Most of the teams I've been with have done that. I mean, they've utilized that time. They've known the demands of training camp, and so they get themselves ready to go. And I would think it would be that way with this team. I just, their nature seems to be that way.
Finally, how competitive are these battles going to be going into camp? Is this roster, we look at 90 guys now, and I know you mentioned you always look at that, you and John are always working on it. How competitive is this camp going to be at certain spots?
Yeah, I'll tell you, Mitch, that's there's kind of a circle of life within itself here on a football team. So John's out looking for players, and his guys are doing the same thing for him. To better the competition, better the roster. So what that allows you to do, obviously, the more competition, the better football team you're going to become. It brings out the best in each player. You might end up letting some good players go. I mean, that's all part of it, too. It also fills in if one of the guys gets hurt, one of the starters gets hurt, you've got another guy that can come in. It allows the doctors to do their job the right way. It allows a player to get back physically the right way, not be rushed back in, then get hurt again. And, you know, and inevitably it lengthens his career, which allows you to be a better football team for a longer period of time. So there's a whole circle of life within itself there. So, John's going to continue to do that along with his staff. I'm going to go hang out at the beach.
Good. I was going to ask you. You going to get some recharge time here? Because you've been on full alert since December 31st.
Yeah, it's there really hasn't been any downtime. I'm going to step back from it a little bit the best way I can. You need that. It's the NFL season itself is pretty demanding. It's long hours. You want to make sure that you're giving the players and your coaching staff everything you've got. So you take a minute there to recharge the battery and then come back and it's fast and furious again.
Every time I ask you, the adrenaline, I saw the flow. First day we had a chance to do this. How's that adrenaline now?
Oh, it's good, man. It's good. Loving every minute of it. Loving every minute of it. I've appreciated the city. Got to know it better than the first time we met. Haven't met a barbecue meal I haven't liked. I mean, I'm telling you, they're unbelievable. I like the organization. I think Clark does a great job with it. He's the one, it all starts with him. And he's got good people working in this building. And you being one of them, right? So you're all part of it.
Yeah.
And they're people that are hungry to win. They're players here that are in that same mode. John's turned over the roster, although Scotty did a good job with the people here and on the roster. The guys before Scott did a good job, the ones that are left here that were before Scott. So there's a foundation. Romeo coached them hard and kept them right. So there's that nucleus that foundation that has been started a bit, and then it's important that we add to it and continue to build it.
It's good stuff, and it was great to have you here, and I'm glad you're going to get a chance to recharge your batteries. Andy Reid, head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll be back with more on this edition of Chiefs Live after this.
Just because it's springtime doesn't mean you have to miss out on football. That's right, there's no off-season for Chiefs fans, and that's why there's a show for those who want to stay close to their favorite team all year long. It's Red and Gold. Red and Gold will take you around town, Arrowhead, and into the lives of players and coaches like no other show. Check local listings for dates and times. It's Red and Gold.
Corona Light presents Kenny Chesney's No Shoes Nation Tour. Starring Kenny Chesney. And Eric Church. Eli Young Band. And introducing Casey Musgraves. Saturday, June 15th at Arrowhead Stadium. Tickets are on sale now. Available at all Ticketmaster ticket outlets. Kenny Chesney and friends in concert.
Love the Chiefs? Join us. Stay connected and join the growing communities of the Chiefs Kingdom. There's so many ways. Twitter keeps you up to date on all things Chiefs.
They're not going to catch it. Derek Johnson on a linebacker blitz.
Facebook lets you respond and react to fellow fans. And Instagram takes you inside with some of the best images of the Kingdom. Stay connected to win some sweet prizes. Join in and be a part of your Chiefs 365.
On this special edition of Chiefs Live, we bring in the heavy hitters, man. We're going.
Where is he?
NFL Network. Let's bring him in. The former Iowa Hawkeye, by the way, Paul Burmeister. Paul, it's great to see you again.
Mitch, good to be back in Kansas City. Excited to get to know the team as preseason is just around the corner.
Wow. And you'll be doing the Chiefs preseason games again. We'll get to that in a second. But let's just talk about what's happened in this league. Let's take it since the Super Bowl champions, Baltimore Ravens, in the dark, basically, able to have the confetti fall on them. What have you seen around the league over the last several months?
Well, my view of the league has been it's through the draft lens from the middle of January until really that first week of May when we finish our wrap-up shows of the draft. But to me, it's been all about a draft that finally was not about the quarterbacks. And the Chiefs are the definition of that, going with the left tackle to be, the right tackle for now, Eric Fisher out of Central Michigan. But my offseason was all about getting to know the offensive line, the defensive line, because the quarterbacks in this year's draft class, not what we've become used to from Matthew Stafford all the way up through Andrew Luck and RG3. The off seasons have been all about the talented quarterbacks at the top of the class. This year, a lot different. And Eric Fisher, again, is really the definition of what this class was about.
Yeah, very different than the year before. Chiefs with a 1-1 this year. People say, wow, tough luck. Although Eric Fisher hopefully will be a Ring of Honor type of player. E.J. Manuel,
yeah,
going that high. For the Buffalo Bills to do that, particularly since they'd invested in some veterans.
Right. Really interesting, and I think it's a good sign, or maybe it's a bad sign, but it's certainly an example of what's going on in the NFL right now with quarterbacks. I think you have to start with what you can do in the pocket, and E.J. Manuel did very well there at Florida State, 25-6, filled in well for Christian Ponder when he was hurt, and then took over and did a great job. But he can get outside the pocket and do some things, and that's why the Chiefs have Chris Alton as a consultant to see what maybe they can do outside the pocket, see how they can defend quarterbacks outside the pocket. So EJ was very good at Florida State, but I think it was a perfect time for him to have that kind of talent, because what he does and what could make him special, that's what teams are looking for right now.
And then the plummet of Geno Smith. People were clamoring for the Chiefs to take Geno Smith at the 1-1, hoping he could be an RG3 and Andrew Luck. How did you see with the Jets taking Geno Smith where they did?
It started out in January, and he was the guy. I mean, we had discussions about Geno Smith, and he was a top 10 pick. It was just assumed he was going to go there. And as teams got to know him a little better, it was like, okay, maybe he's middle of the first round. Maybe he's a first round pick. And then by the time it was April, there was talk of him potentially slipping to the second round. So there's a lot to like about him, but as teams got to know, I mean, the draft process for a quarterback is nothing if not exhaustive. and thorough. And as they got to know more and more about the offense he ran and what some people who knew him well were saying about him, it became a real possibility that he wouldn't be a first-round quarterback. So pressure's off a little bit, although I don't know for a New York quarterback if the pressure is ever really off.
One final quarterback question. The 2013 draft class does deal with the Chiefs, and that's taking Tyler Bray as an undrafted free agent. Now, there was times, Paul, he had a second or third round grade on him.
Yeah, and this is a quarterback who was described a lot, and I listened to our own Mike Mayock very well, and he liked the talent of Tyler Bray a lot. A lot of arm talent, but some questions in addition to his physical ability. What kind of leader is he going to be? What kind of consistency is he going to have inside the pocket? To me, he was when you get past first or second round quarterbacks, there's a lot of positive and there's a lot of potential negative. And Tyler Bray's a great example. Tremendous potential. Legitimate questions as well as far as his consistency and as far as what kind of leader is he going to be. And it's going to be fun to watch in the preseason him go at it with Ricky Stanzi and see who comes out.
Now I want to ask you about the rest of the division before we micro in on the Chiefs. And it's an interesting division when you study it. We'll start with Denver.
Mm-hmm.
The kneel downs were the most discussed things in, right. in Denver during the offseason, kneeling down at the end of regulation, losing that game to the Ravens in overtime. Denver gets stronger. They put Wes Walker in there. What's the vibe coming out of the Broncos?
It's hard to say that they're going to be better than they were a year ago. I mean, 13 wins, number one seed in the AFC, that's setting the bar awfully high. They could still be an 11-12 win team and be the team to beat in the AFC West, which I think they are. I don't think they're going to win as many games as they did a year ago. As you know very well, NFL sees a team have a great season. Okay, we're going to make the schedule a whole lot tougher for you next year. So it's a much more difficult road for them, literally all on the road a lot in November, yeah. December. I still see them clearly as the class of the AFC West. I don't know if I'd predict 13 wins again, though.
Yeah, everybody in this division is cross-pollinating. It's the NFC East. We know what that's like. And then they have the 1-1 pick, 1-1 against the AFC North and the AFC East. Okay. The other two teams seem to be in a state of flux. San Diego, lots of change there. What's going on in the Chargers camp?
To me, it all goes down, it goes beyond this, but it starts with the offensive line. And Phillip Rivers, for quite a few years, was right on the cusp of being one of those elite quarterbacks. The last 2 years really took a step back. He's thrown a lot more interceptions, taken a lot more sacks, not all his fault, obviously, and the team losing a lot more games. So, to me, I'm still a believer in Phillip Rivers. I know a lot of people are waning that way. I think he's very, very good. If they can get that offensive line figured out, and they addressed it early in the draft, they did a little bit in free agency, but if that offensive line in San Diego is considerably better than it was a year ago, and Phillip Rivers is as good as I believe he is, I think that's Kansas City's number one threat to make a big jump up, because I think San Diego, after a couple down years, like Kansas City, can be a pretty good team next year if that one area is a lot better.
That's interesting. One thing that to me in this division that's fascinating is Oakland's trying to figure it out. They've right. gone through a lot of changes. But they hire Reggie McKenzie, trying to get a Packers blueprint. The
Sounds
Chiefs are doing the same
yeah.
thing.
Right.
Okay. Bringing in Brother Dorsey
mm-hmm.
For John to come in here. So everybody's kind of trying to emulate what the Packers have done. Oakland, everybody's trying to get a handle on what's going on there. What's going on there?
Well, I believe they're under some pretty good direction. I mean, everybody who comes out of Green Bay, led by Ted Thompson, it's very good news for Chiefs fans here because John Dorsey was in the same building for over a decade. Everybody who learned there learns that you build through the draft. You don't make a lot of splash in free agency. Championship teams are built through the draft. Now, that flies in the face a little bit of some of their bigger moves. They bring in Matt Flynn. I believe they had to.
Yeah.
But it is a team, I think, that is a – I see Oakland as a ways behind. I see them as the fourth-best team in the AFC West right now. But I think they're moving in good direction, and there were a number of years where they weren't winning where I wouldn't have said that. I think the leadership is in place. I think they will get there. I think they're considerably behind Kansas City and also San Diego as the teams chasing Denver.
You look at it macro. Let's micro it down. The Kansas City Chiefs, the team you have for the preseason on the Chiefs Television Network. But I want to ask you about Alex Smith.
Mm-hmm.
You followed him closely
right.
In San Francisco. He had that incredible playoff comeback victory against New Orleans a couple years ago. Alex Smith, your assessment of him and coming here to be the Chiefs quarterback?
To me, his eight seasons are really broken down into three categories. His first couple seasons, There's no other way to look at it. He wasn't very good. And a lot of quarterbacks right away are not very good. But Alex really struggled right away. A lot more interceptions than touchdowns, right around the 50% mark, even under it a couple times. Then he had the season where he was out with an injury. That's kind of the first phase where he wasn't very good, and he was injured. Then the next two seasons, he went from being a below-average quarterback, I think, to a decent quarterback. People started to open their eyes a little bit and say, you know what, maybe Alex Smith isn't a bust. There were those two pretty good years. Then the last 2 years, he was excellent. And even though I'm very honest about what he was right away, and then I think he wasn't a very good quarterback right away, I also will look at anybody and say, you know what, don't give me this game manager stuff from Alex Smith the last 2 years. He was a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback. Doesn't mean he was there, but you look at his numbers. No matter how you measure a quarterback, whether it's touchdowns, interceptions, whether it's a team winning, whether it's his own completion percentage, he was excellent the last 2 years. So where's he going to go now? From below average to decent to really good? Can he stay at really good without Jim Harbaugh, without some of the teammates he had there? We'll see. But I've gone from a skeptic of Alex Smith to a staunch defender of the way he's played the last couple of years.
That playoff game.
He was excellent. And that's the game I look at mostly, Mitch, is saying, you know what, that's not a game manager leading his team down the field and making tough stick throws 15, 20 yards down the field. Anybody who labels him just as a game manager hasn't been watching that close the last couple of years.
Yeah, I'd show him that tape. And what's interesting, the fire that seems to be in his belly and being around him this spring and early into the summer, like your preseason partner Trent Green, he had to stand on the sideline and watch a replacement of his win a Super Bowl or get to a Super Bowl in the case of Colin Kaepernick. So Colin gets there. But just kind of what that does to a guy of – I mean, he wants to get it done by himself. Or he wants to get it done himself.
Exactly. And, I mean, a lot of players have to go to the bench and watch, you know, after a little bit of success. But this was an 8-year veteran, a number one overall pick, who'd finally earned the right to be seen as a high-quality or high-caliber quarterback in the NFL, forced to watch. And also keep in mind what he did the last couple games before he got hurt. He was 18 for 19, not in Thursday practice, but in a real live NFL game. A couple weeks before. And the next game, I think he was 7 for 8 before he got injured in that little over one game, 4 touchdowns, 0 picks. So he was at the top of his game, and the coach said, now, you're going to go over here and watch. Now, Colin Kaepernick proved that Jim Harbaugh knew what he was talking about. I mean, I think either one of those quarterbacks would have done well, but he had to watch somebody else play his position and play it well. And I'm sure that affected his insides, and he didn't need extra motivation. But I'm sure he arrives in Kansas City with a little bit of bonus motivation.
Andy Reid, you followed him for a long time. I go back to the Black Monday day. Right. I was watching on a monitor. It might have been your guys' coverage of his news conference and the sadness that I felt of leaving a footprint in Philadelphia after 14 years thinking, man, it'd be great if he was here. Mm-hmm. Wednesday, they're talking in Philly. Boom, he's here. It's all of a sudden it's put together. Andy Reid.
Right.
What does he do for Kansas City?
He brings consistency. Consistency in who he is, in the way he coaches, and I think what we're going to see in the way he wins. And it's not very often. I think Bill Belichick is a good example. Andy Reid is probably the next example. You look at the last decade, how many coaches have maintained that level of winning, where winning 9, 10, 11, 12 games a year is expected, and it happens most of the time. The last 2 years have been really disappointed for Andy, or really disappointing for Andy in Philadelphia, but you look at what he did over a decade plus, incredible amount of consistency, winning at a high level, taking teams to the playoffs. I don't think you have to look any further than what happens at the 101 Awards here. You and I are both a part of that. And I'm not going to mention names, but 4 years ago, 6 years ago, 2 years ago, here's a coach of the year. A year and a half later, he's fired. It's happened many, many times. It happens all across the league. And I bring that up only to point out it's hard to win every single season. And Andy Reid did that nearly every season for a decade plus in Philadelphia. So I think that's what he brings most, someone who's a proven winner over a long stretch of time, which is really, really hard to do.
Yeah, and if there's a fire burning in Alex Smith, there's an acetylene torch inside of Andy Reid. Right. He's ready to go. Final question before we let you go, and it's great to have you here this week. But to talk about your role as the preseason play-by-play guy on the Chiefs Television Network, how did it go last year? Yeah. What about going into this year?
It was so much fun. I mean, we are both lucky to get to do what we do. Yeah. And you know, people look from the outside looking in and say, God, it must be a lot of fun. And it isn't always, but when you are matched up with people that you like as a friend and you respect as a professional, And I had that next to me in Trent Green. I've had a relationship with Trent for 20 years.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Always admired him. And he's one of these guys where you watch him, you see him, you think, can he really be that good of a guy? he really is. I always leave time with Trent feeling like I'm not that good of a guy because he's such a good, nice person. I enjoy being around him. He's very good at what he does. So that's a win right there. And I think what started last year for me with Rob Alvarino, who's now gone in San Francisco, we'll miss him for sure, and Mark Donovan, who oversees, you know, this whole thing here, the president, there was a real commitment to quality inside that truck. And I think all 32 teams would say that in the preseason. It doesn't always work that way. They're not all committed to quality the way the Chiefs are. So between the Chiefs' leadership making it happen for us and giving us what we need to be successful, and the fact that I'm sitting next to a guy I like a whole lot and respect a lot in Trent Green, I'm just happy they asked me back. Happy to be here.
It's great to have you with us now. It's great to have you with us during the preseason.
Thank you.
And a huge part of that quality broadcast on the Chiefs preseason games. Paul Burmeister of the NFL Network and the Chiefs Television Network.